Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel. You'll notice a triangle, and it's also noted as number 3. We are continuing with the series of incidents that we featured in our previous shiur of those who had nidorim, vows that needed to be absolved. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, havi le nidra le mishra. Rabbi Shmuel had taken a vow, and he needed it to be absolved. Also le kamayhu de rabbonin, he came to the rabbis, Omru Lei, and they asked him, Nadras Adaita Dahi, when you took your vow, when you made your vow, did you do so with such and such in mind? And the hope being, like we discussed in our last year, that he would say, no, I didn't have that in mind, and they would be able to declare that the vow is therefore annulled. However, he responded, Amalu Yens, yes, I took the vow with such and such, such in mind. They asked him again, Nadra Sadai Tadachi, well, did you take the vow with this other matter in mind? Amalu In, yes, he says that too. I thought about that and I made my vow anyway. This repeated itself, Kama Zimnen, a few times. Kevan Dechoza, Hahu Katsra, Demitstari Rabbonon. It was an onlooker. An ignoramus, Kasra is a watchman. He saw that the Rabbanan were pained by their inability. They were pained or frustrated by their inability to absolve Rabbi Shmuel of the vow. So he saw they were getting upset. So what did he do? Machye beuchla de Katsri. He took a vessel that is used by watchmen. By watchmen, it's called an uchlo de katsri, and he hit Rabbi Shmuel with that omar. So Rabbi Shmuel, upon receiving the blow, he said, "Adaita de mochi li katsra lo nadri." When I made the vow, I didn't make it with this in mind that I would be accosted by this watchman. V'shari l'nafshein. With that, he was able to provide information for his own release from the vow. Omar le Rav Acha midifti Ravina. So Rav Acha asks Ravina, how in the world could that have worked? Hai nolad hu. The lo masik adaite de mochi le katsra. Nolad is literally born. It's new information. It's something that developed later, after the vow was made. This is something that when Rav Shmuel vowed, he didn't have that in mind, that he would be accosted by a katsra. Vitanino, and we have a rule that's taught in the following Tanaic source, Ein Poischin Lo Benolad. We don't open our absolution of vows when prompting the vower to to renege on the vow. We don't prompt him with information that couldn't have been known at the time the vow was made. The Rosh comments, Ein poischin benolad, the meachar she'eno motsui. It's something very unusual. The lomasik adaite shiara dover zeh. Doesn't occur to people that this kind of thing would happen. Lo havio charot elakor haneder meikoroi. It doesn't constitute a form of regret to uproot the vow from its origin, from its beginning. And this is what we are striving to do when we our poischin, when we seek a Pesach for a vow, as we've discussed in the past, we're seeking to uproot it from its origin. But since this is something that doesn't occur to a person, that such a thing would happen to him, it would be informational, say, or something that's disqualified as being the basis of a vow absolution. Omar lay. So Ravina responds to Rav Acha. He says, "Hai lav noladhu." This isn't something that is something, let's say, we'll call out of the blue, something that couldn't have occurred to someone at the time of the vow. Dishchichi apikuri demetzari rabbonan. Apikuri are scoffers, are people that are the questioners of the rabbis. It's common, shchichi means it's regular, it's common that people like that are mitzayer the rabbonon, subject the rabbonon to pain. And therefore, people like this katsra who hit Rabbi Yishmael is something that does not fall under the category of nolad. And therefore, it could serve as the basis of a vow absolution. Number four, new case. The visu d'Abai have a law hahi barta. The wife of Abai had married a woman that had children, in this case had a daughter from a previous marriage. Who, Omar l'krevoi? Abaye said, when the girl gets married, I want her to marry one of my relatives. He, Omar l'krevo. And she said, the wife said, I want her to marry one of my relatives. Omar law. So Abaye said, Titzura hana'osi aloch, I avris adatoi uminsevis lo l'krevoch. You can see quite a domestic struggle or quarrel arising, where Abaye forswore, he vowed that his wife shall not benefit from him if she takes the initiative and has the daughter marry one of her relatives, one of the wife's relatives. Aslus v'avris adate. I'm not sure you're surprised, but here the wife of Abai went ahead and violated his will, went against his desire, insiva the krevo, and married the daughter marry one of her, the wife's relatives. So now Abai finds himself in a predicament. So now that that having been the case, the wife will not be able to benefit from Abaye and have an intolerable marital situation. Also, the kamei to Rav Yosef. Abaye comes with his problem to Rav Yosef. Omar le, Rav Yosef says, Ilu hava yadis da avris al daitoch. Had you known that she would go against your will, uminsiva la lekreva mi atrasa, and gone against your will and had the daughter marry one of her relatives, the wife's relatives, would you have made that neder? Would you have made that vow? Omar lo, I wouldn't have made that vow. Vishaya Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef absolved Abaye of the vow. Umishori ki'ai gavno, is this allowed? The Rosh explains what the problem is. We look in the Rosh a little more than halfway down the Rosh commentary. Umishori hadayin lasus pesach miguf haneder. Can the sage who is absolving the client of the vow, can he use as the basis of the absolution the neder itself, the vow itself, v'lo luftoach mimokam acherin, and not to seek out a absolution from some outside cause? So that's the question. Can the vow itself be the basis of the absolution? Namely, he said, Rav Yosef said, had you known that she would go against your will, which that was the subject of the vow, going against your will, what would you have made that vow? And Abai says, no, I wouldn't have made it. And he says, it's okay, it's resolved. So we say, is this allowed in V'hotanya? Yes, and we give you Tanaic precedence. In the following source, Maisa Bodem Echod, Shehedi Resishto Milalois Laregel, was a husband that was Madir, made a vow that his wife cannot benefit from him if she goes to Jerusalem on the holiday, Aliyas HaRegel. The Ovra Al Daito, and the woman, the wife, went against her husband's will, the also the Regel, and she went on Aliyas HaRegel. She went to Jerusalem on the holiday. Ubalifnei Rabbi Yossi, Omerlo, and the guy, the husband comes from Yosef, Rabbi Yossi says to him, Ilu Hayisa Yadea, Sheveres Al Daito, had you known that she would go against your will, the Ola Regel, and gone to Jerusalem on the holiday, Klum Hadrasa, would you have made the vow? Omar lo, so the husband says, lo, I wouldn't have made the vow. V'hitiru Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef absolved him of the vow. So you see, there's Tanaic precedent that too can serve as the basis of a vow annulment. Reb Lozer ben Yankiv Oimer, af haroitzel ahadir es chavero, shiochal etzlo. We're continuing with the general topic of Nidre Ziruzin, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv says, so too there is a case of a man that wants his friend to eat by him. He wants to host his friend for a meal. Yomar kol neder shani osi lidor hu batel. Now, this Mishnah, let me point out ahead of time, is very vague. It's very hard to understand on a simple translation level. We see that we're talking about a man that wants to encourage, motivate his friend to visit. And then it goes on to say something that doesn't seem to be connected at all, but it says he should declare that any neder that I make, kol neder shani osi lido hu batel, should be void. Ubavad she zochur b'shas haneder, provided he remembers this condition or this stipulation when he makes that vow. Well, at this point, what are we to make of things? At this point, we're going to go on a. In order to set up the Gemara for the question, we're going to explain that you have a fellow that wants to insist. He insists on his friend eating by him, and he imposes a vow on him, and then he makes a disclaimer that any vow I make should be void. Well, so what if you? What has the guy accomplished? The cave of the Omar call neder she'ani osi lidor yeh batel. Since the host says any neder that I make in the future shall be void. Lo shamale v'lo asi bahadei. So the friend that he's trying to motivate to visit him through the vow isn't going to come. He realized that he won't be subjected to any of the vow's restrictions because the host has announced that the vow should be void. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Chisure mechasre v'hochi katoni. The Mishnah is presented in an abbreviated fashion, and I'd like to add in a deliberately abbreviated fashion, and the following is the way we're to understand the Mishnah. A person that wants to motivate his friend to visit, to eat by him, and the guest is resisting, he's misarev, and the host, Madiro, imposes a vow on him. Nidre Ziruzin Hu. You should realize it's not a serious vow that has any binding element to it, but rather it falls under the category of the Nidre Ziruzin that we have been discussing in the last couple of Dapim, the motivational vows. V'horoitze, and now a different topic. V'horoitze shelo yiskaimu nidorov kol hashana, a person who does not want his vows that he makes in the course of the year to be binding. So Yamud Barosh Hashanah V'yomar, he should arise on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and announce Kol neder shani osid lidor ye botel. Any vow that I make should be void. Ubavad she zochur b'shas neder. And here we just translate, provided he remembers this disclaimer at the time that he makes the vow in the course of the year. The Gemara asks, Izochor, if a person knows that he made this disclaimer and makes a vow anyway, Akri l'tanoe v'kayem le'nidre, the nidre. So he's basically uprooting the stipulation, the disclaimer, and the vow should be, yes, binding. Omar Abaye. Now we have diamonds around Abaye and Rava. You'll see there's a machlokes between them in how to read or how to understand or what girsa to have in the Mishnah, what version to have. So Abaye says, Tani, restate the Mishnah. Ubilvat shelo yehe zochur b'shas haneder. This disclaimer will work provided he doesn't, at the time that he makes the vow, he doesn't remember the disclaimer. So if he doesn't remember the disclaimer, when the vow is made, it's being made as a vow, and then later he'll remember the disclaimer, and the vow will be void. Rava Omar li'olam kide'amrinon me'ikara. Rava says, let's stick with the original version. That when he's making the vow, he recalls that he made a disclaimer. And hocha b'mayaskinon. So, and what are we talking about here? How can you have a case where he is aware of the disclaimer, and yet he makes the vow with that awareness, and the vow should be void? How could that be? Kegoin shehisna b'rosh hashana v'liyoda b'mayisna. We're talking about someone that made a stipulation on Rosh Hashanah that any vow that I make in the course of the year should be void. And when he makes this stipulation, he knows the kinds of things that he vows. And with those kinds of things in mind, he makes this disclaimer. And then, as the year goes on, he forgot what his disclaimer was. V'lo yada b'mahisna. And he, as I say, he forgot the details or the basis of that stipulation. V'hashta konodar, and now he is making a neder. Izochur b'shas haneder, if he remembers at the time he's making the neder, that he's making the vow, v'yomar, and he says, Al das harishon ani noder, I am making this vow with that original stipulation in mind, namely that I don't want the vow to take hold. Nidre les be mamosha. The neder has no substance to it. The Rashi says, v'hashtaka nodar, izochur b'shas haneder shehisna. He remembers when he's making the neder that he made a tanai, he made a stipulation, a disclaimer. But he doesn't remember that for this very kind of neder he had made that stipulation. V'yomar, and he says, Al das harishon ani noder shelo yehe mekuyam kemo shehisnasi olav. I am making this neder with the original disclaimer in mind. Again, we repeat, he doesn't remember whether that disclaimer covered this kind of vow or not. Nidre lesbe mashosha, the neder then has no substance to it, doesn't get off the ground. The Gemara continues, Lo Omar, if he doesn't announce, Al das harishona ani noder, that I am making this vow with that original stipulation in mind, Akre l'tanoe v'kayim l'nidre, he is thereby uprooting that stipulation, and the vow will be binding. So again, he knows that he made some kind of disclaimer, but when he makes the vow, he doesn't reiterate that this vow is made on the basis of that original disclaimer. So apparently, since he knows that there was a disclaimer, and he's making the vow anyway, and he's not issuing this renewal of the disclaimer, so the vow does take hold. Rav Huna bar Chinana sovar lemidrashe bepirka. Rav Huna intended to teach in public this procedure, this idea of a Rosh Hashanah announcement or stipulation that any vows that he takes during the year shall be void. So again, Rav Huna wanted lemidrashe bepirka, means to make this public. Omar le Rava. Rava says to Rav Huna bar Chinana, Tana komistam lo stumi kidei shelo yinhagu kalasrosh benedorim. The Tana, as you might recall when we read the Mishnah made some kind of reference, but it was very unclear. We had on the top line of the Gemara, we had to say chisuri mechasra, and if you recall when we presented that, we said that Tana deliberately had left the Mishnah vague, and the Gemara itself revealed the understanding of the Mishnah, as we learned above. But from the original Tana standpoint, he didn't want it to be something very clear, very well known. And what was the thinking of the Tana in maintaining this shroud, this vagueness? What was his intent? As the Gemara said, so people should not be lax with regard to vows. You can well imagine if people knew that they can make one disclaimer at the beginning of the year, and with that in mind, they can go ahead and vow their heads off throughout the year, and not be bound. The whole concept of vowing would then lose all seriousness, lose all meaning, and people would be very lax with vows. So that was what the Tano's intention was in leaving things vague. V'at darshis le bepirka, and you, Rav Huna bar Chinana, says Rava, you want to make this public knowledge? I would like to point out that the topic that we're discussing right now has relevance to something that we encounter every year in the context of the very famous Yom Kippur Eve prayer that everyone knows by the term Kol Nidre. And in fact, during that prayer, there is a type of what we call vow disclaimer that we make publicly. This issue is discussed in the commentaries right here on this daf. You can see a discussion in the Tosfos on this topic with reference made to the Kol Nidre prayer. And in addition to the Tosfos, you can see this is touched upon by the Ran commentary as well. For our purposes, though, that's going a bit beyond the scope of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir. We're just trying to whet your appetite to look into this matter a little further, certainly being that it's a very famous prayer that a large portion of the Jewish people take seriously. So now we continue in the Gemara. Ibayolah. Actually, before we read the Gemara text, we glance at the sign. We have a Nosei topic heading, and also an indication that this lasts till Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis. So, you realize that in the context of the Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiur, we're only going to be able to begin the issue and not actually complete it. But that having been said, we have the introduction. Ha'im ha'chachomim cholkim al Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov v'soivrim the nidrei ziruzim shayachim rak b'mekach u'memkar. do the rabbis disagree with Reb Elozer ben Yaakov? Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, he appeared in the Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, adding to what would be Nidrei Zimruzin. So our question is, do the rabbis, in addition, besides Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, do they disagree with him and state that Nidrei Zimruzin is something that we'll call motivational vows, is something that's limited to commercial transactions? Kidiktoni, Shneim Rotzim Vishloisha, as we saw there, where both were really interested in the deal, the transaction taking place at three dinarim. Or possibly the Chachamim don't disagree with the Rosh Yankiv and say that Nidrei Zeruzin, motivational vows, meaning vows that will really have no legal binding power to them, that these type of motivational vows are relevant to areas outside of commercial transactions. So the Gemara asks the question, Ibaya Laho, Pligi Rabbonon Olei de Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, Olo. Do the Rabbonon disagree with him as far as how far Nidrei Zeruzin extends, or do they disagree and limit it to Masa Umatan, to commercial transactions, or do they not disagree and say that Nidrei Zeruzin applies on a broader basis? V'im Tim Tzolomar Pligi, and a second question is, if you say that they do argue, Hilchisa Kavose Oiloi, does the halacha follow him or not? If the halacha follows the Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, then we're saying that the concept of Nidrei Zeruzin is applied to areas beyond commercial transactions. We have a little note that this particular question will be dealt with on Laf Chof Dalet Amud Beis. But initially, the first question, that's why you can see we've labeled it in our Mark Gemoras with an Aleph and a Beis. The first question being, do the rabbis disagree with Reb Elozer ben Yaakov to begin with? So, in order to deal with this, we have markings, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, also we indicate that this structural note has relevance till Daf Chof Dalid Omid Beis. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take structure. The triangle with the point facing up, Hoychocha de Chachomim Cholkim. We are an attempt to show that the Chachamim disagree. And the inverted triangle would be a rejection, a dechia of whatever is being said. So the Gemara continues. Toshma tisnan. Let's try to bring proof, one way or the other, from the following source. Ha'emer lechavero. We continue at the top of Daf Chof Dalet. Koinom she'eni ne'ne loch im I ato Noitel levincha kur shel chitin ushte chovios shel yayin. A person vows, we'll say A vows that he will accept no benefit from Mr. B if Mr. B does not take for his son a measure, a kur is a measure of wheat, of chitim, and two chovias, two barrels of wine. That's the vow. Once again, koinim she'eini nen eloch, I will not benefit from you if you don't take this from me for your son. Hare ze yochol lahatir es nidro shelo al pi chocham. This vow is subject to being rescinded, to being absolved, even without consulting with a sage. Shiyachol loymar loy. The called the subject of the vow can say to the vower, Klum amarta elo b'shvil kvodi. Did you not say this other than with the intention of honoring me? Zehu Kivodi. This is my honor, namely that I won't take from you these items for my son. In other words, you're trying to bestow honor onto me. In other words, you're trying to motivate me by saying that you will not accept any more favors from me if you don't accept a favor from me. In other words, from you to me. This kind of vow can simply be undone by the subject saying, listen, you're trying to honor me, aren't you? This is my honor that I don't accept anything from you. The Rashi, third line from the top, Zeo Kvodi Yoser, this is even more honor, Shelo Akabeo, that I won't accept from you, She'eni Tzorech, I don't need anything, Ukvar Hutar HaNeder, and with that, the Neder is absolved. Taima, the Gemara continues, Taima di Omar, Zehu Kvodi. The reason that this vow is absolved is because of this announcement on the part of the subject of the vow saying that, well, this is my honor. Your goal is to honor me. This is my honor by my not accepting your offer. Halav hachi nederhu. Well, without that, then the neder would be binding. And what does that mean, the neder would be binding? It wouldn't be viewed as simply a nidrei zeruzin, as simply a motivational vow, but it would be a real vow. Money, who would author this? E, Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv, nidrei zeruzin have. If you would associate Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv with this source, it would be a vow. It would not be a vow anyway. All it is a neder lezarez, nidrei zeruzin. All it is a motivational statement that the speaker, we'll say the vow maker, is so interested in his friend receiving some benefit from him, from the speaker. It's purely motivational. So the source would not have had to say that the way to cancel the vow is by having the subject of the vow saying Zehu Kvodi. It would be Nidrei Zeruzin, wouldn't be a vow anyway. Ela Lav Rabbanan. Rather, it must be that this source is authored by the Rabbanan. And what then do we see? Shma Mino Pligi Rabbanan Ole, that the Rabbanan really do disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv, and that the concept of Nidrei Zeruzin does not apply outside of, we'll say, commercial concerns. The Gemara rejects this. I hope everyone notices that up till this point, we had it presented as attempt number one. It's basically one long point, and now a rejection. Li'olam Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv hi. The source above is really authored by Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv. Umoide Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv b'hai. Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv will concede that in this particular case, that the nidra havi, it's a real neder. It's not just something motivational. The omar lay, the madir, the vower, is saying, lo kalbo ano, I'm not a dog, de mishanino minoch, that I'm always getting benefits, getting favors from you, and you don't ever get anything from me. It's like a person that has a dog. He always takes care of the dog. It's pretty much a one-way street. You buy him the dog food, and you bathe him and comb him and de-lice him and who knows whatever people do to care for their dogs. And the dog doesn't really do anything in exchange, certainly nothing tangible in exchange to the master. So the fellow over here is very serious in the vow. It's not a simple motivational vow, but rather he's taking a position that even Reb Elazar ben Yaakov will concede, is not simply, not purely motivational, but as we say, it's a vow with full intent. As we indicated before, this sukkah, this discussion goes quite a bit beyond the context of the Daf Yomi framework that we're featuring in Gemara markings. So we will pause at this point, but realize that in the next year, in order to pick up, one should be very familiar with what we've just been discussing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.